This morning I want to talk to you about understanding the times, understanding the times. I want you to go with me to the book of 1 Chronicles chapter 12. We're going to look at verse 32. Verse 32 says, "And the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times, to know what Israel ought to do." That's all we're going to read in that scripture. "And of the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times, to know what Israel ought to do." Let's pray. Lord, we love you this morning. Father, I know I've come with a word from your heart. Father, I just pray that you would truly speak to us. God, you have put it in my heart that we are so close to your coming. God, we are so close to your coming, but there is still so many things that is on your heart to do. In this very short span of time that we have left, there are things on your heart that, God, you fervently want to do. Lord, we as your people need to be discerning the times, recognizing what your hand is doing in our world and what is the part that we play, because time is so short. God, we love you and we give you glory and honor. And I just pray to speak to our hearts, challenge our hearts if our hearts need to be challenged. God, if the will of God and the kingdom of God is not the priority of our life, challenge our hearts, God. Time is too short to waste. God, we give you glory and honor for all that you're doing. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 I want to begin by saying that this is probably going to be the shortest message that I've ever preached. But it's probably the message that required the most patience in waiting on the Lord for a message. All this week, I spent much time in the privacy of my prayer closet saying, "God, Sunday's coming, and I need a sermon. I need a word." But the Lord just would come back to my heart with this answer: "Tim, wait on me in prayer. Wait on me in prayer." And I don't say that to sound boastful or like I'm trying to put myself as some kind of great man of prayer or nothing like that. The Lord taught me something in that time of waiting upon him in prayer, and I'm going to bring that out at the close of the message. Now, verse 32 says, again, look with me at verse 32. It says, "And the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times, to know what Israel ought to do." So verse 32 is talking about the children of Issachar. And when the Bible refers to the children of Issachar, we're talking about the tribe of Issachar. And we're talking about the children of Issachar, the tribe of Issachar, that Issachar was one of the 12 tribes of Israel. And it says that they had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. And what it's referring to particularly in this passage of scripture, in this time, it's talking about David's ascension to the throne. When you really study it out, I've studied it out. And it's saying that the children of Issachar understood the times they were living in, and they understood what God was doing in bringing David to the throne. So in other words, these children, these people, they had eyes to see the hand of God upon David's life. And they had eyes to see how God was bringing David to the throne. But just as important as that, just as important as seeing God moving David to the throne, they had a discerning of what the will of God was for their lives, what they needed to do in bringing David to the throne, what exactly the part they had to play. So in other words, the children of Israel, these children of Issachar, possessed the God-given discernment. They understood what God was up to in the times they were living in and the direction the children of Israel were to go in these times. They understood the times they were living in and the things God's people were to do in the will of God in these times. And when I was just looking at this, the Lord just really struck my heart with this. And as I was just praying and seeking the Lord on what I felt like he was speaking to my heart about, the Lord just began to speak so clearly. And this is what the Lord spoke to my heart. He said, "Tim, I am doing something in the world today. I am doing something in the times in which you live. And it is so vital that my people discern and see what I'm doing." so vital that we have eyes to see what God's doing. And God spoke to me three things in prayer regarding what he's doing and about the things that we need to be discerning in our times in which we live. First of all, God spoke to me and he said, I am moving mightily, I am moving enormously, I am moving forcefully, I am moving unrestrainedly in different places in the world, and I need my people to discern my mighty moving. God is moving mightily in places in the world. And we need to see what God is doing. We need to discern what God is doing. And what the example that the Lord gave me, just a little example the Lord gave me, is the Middle East. Listen, God is moving powerfully. God is moving very forcefully in Iraq right now. People that have heard the call to go to Iraq and minister in Iraq, they're coming back and they're telling us that God is saving people by the thousands in Iraq. I'm just talking to Brother Clendenin not long ago. He's been to Iraq a few times. God has called him to go to Iraq. And he's talking about how thousands and thousands of Muslims in the Middle East are being saved. God is moving monumentously in the Middle East. Now, some people are saying, well, are you talking about, enforcing the war effort in the Middle East? That's not what I'm talking about at all. I'm talking about having eyes to see what God is doing. You understand that? The church is so split. We're so split on what's going on in Iraq. Do you know that? One of the biggest arguments going on in the church is, I support the war effort, I don't support the war effort. But I'm telling us we need to see what God is doing and bind together in unity and get in agreement with God. That's what I'm saying. God is moving monumentously in the Middle East. And we as a church need to be discerning what God is doing. God is moving powerfully in places of the world. And Mount Zion Church of the Holy Spirit has a place in what God is doing. Now listen, God is moving powerfully all over the world. And as a corporate body, Mount Zion Church of the Holy Spirit, we're not going to be able to see everything that God is doing. But there are things that God wants us to see. And we'll talk about why in a minute. We really need to be discerning what the Lord is doing. Another big thing God is doing, I really believe with all my heart, is he's preparing America for revival. I know this because there are so many people filled by the Spirit of God that are talking about revival and preaching about revival, and there's an earnestness in their heart for revival. Amos 3:7 says, surely the Lord will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret to his servants, the prophets. And it says in Revelation chapter 1 that Jesus is the spirit of all prophecy. So I know God is preparing America for revival because there are so many people who passionately love God, filled with his spirit. And they're preaching about revival and praying for revival. And it's so powerfully in their heart. And this is one of the things I believe we need to be discerning what God is doing. Understand, Jesus is coming back so soon, and in the short time that's left, there is so much he wants to do in our world. And it is so vital that we as a church discern the times we are living in and discern what God is doing in our world. We can't afford to be sleeping watchmen. We need to be awakened on the walls, living wholly for the purposes of God, ready to hear and obey the will and the call of God for our lives. Secondly, God spoke this to my heart. The Lord says, there are places where I'm beginning to do a work. Places where I'm starting out small, gaining a spiritual foothold that will become a heavenly stronghold. And I need my people to discern my hand in the small things. Right now there are Muslim nations where God is powerfully working behind the scenes. There's Hindu nations where God is working powerfully behind the scenes. There's Buddhist nations where God is powerfully working behind the scenes to bring a strong witness into these areas of the world. Right now, we may not see the Lord moving mightily in these nations, but he is working to bring the gospel in a powerful way to that place. And we need to have eyes to discern what God is doing. And thirdly, the Lord spoke to me, says, I'm doing something in your world. And my people need to be able to discern and recognize what I'm doing in their world. Brothers and sisters, God's not only doing something in the world as a whole, he's doing something in the world that we live in. There are lives he's beginning to speak to. There are lives he's beginning to work in the world we live in. And he truly wants us to be able to discern his hand. It's not only important to see and recognize what God is doing throughout the world. It is important to see and recognize what God is doing in our world, at our workplace, on our job, in our town, and in our city. It's so important to see. Mount Zion Church of the Holy Spirit, God is working in the hearts of people right here in Grantville, Pennsylvania. And whatever town you live in, God is working powerfully in people's hearts. We need to recognize what God is doing and allow Him to use us in the way that He desires. We need to recognize what God is doing. Jesus said in John 5:19, He said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of Himself but what He sees the Father do." Mount Zion Church of the Holy Spirit, do we have eyes to see what the Father is doing in the world that we live in? You know, there's a scripture that struck my heart again in a fresh way. I wasn't going to bring it up, but I'm going to bring it up. It just struck my heart this morning in a fresh way, and that is simply this. Jesus had compassion on the multitudes, and He says, "The harvest truly is plenteous. Pray to the Lord of the harvest, because it's so plenteous, and the laborers are so few." And what the Lord really spoke to my heart, He said, "Tim," and He was challenging me as a pastor. He said, "Tim, so many ministries confine, so many churches confine their ministry to what's going on inside of the church. They get so busy in their ministry in the church that they forget that there's a world outside I want to reach." You understand that? We get so caught up ministering in the church when there's a world outside that needs to be reached. And my ministry as a pastor is to minister to this church, but it's also to have a heart to go out. If we're a pastor or a Sunday school teacher or a worship leader or a missions director or a nursery worker or something like that, God just doesn't want us to be confined to the church. He wants to use our lives out there in that world. And that really challenged my heart. God, what is my part? To get out from these four walls and to be used, because God, You are doing something around the world in which I live. You are touching people's hearts, speaking to people's hearts. God, what is my part in reaching them? So here's the question. And why, as God's people, is it important that we understand the times in which we live and recognize what God is doing? Here's the answer the Lord put in my heart. So we can pray like we've never prayed before. Never before has there been a time that the church should be praying. But not just praying. Praying with the mind of the Lord. Never before should the church be praying with the mind of the Lord. God is up to something in our world. He is up to something big. And the church should be discerning and working with the Lord in prayer. I want to show you something. Go with me to Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12, verse 1 through 7. Talking about prayer. It says, "Now about that time Herod king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. And he killed James the brother of John with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him four quarantined soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people." Acts 12. Is everybody in Acts 12? Did I say that right? Okay. Now verse 5 says, "Peter therefore was kept in the prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains. And the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side and said, raise him up, saying, arise quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands." Now, I was looking at this scripture. The Lord really put this in my heart, showing me about corporate prayer and the power that's in corporate prayer, when a body comes together and prays. And the thing the Lord caught my attention with, the truth the Lord caught my attention with, is as they were praying, it said a light shined in the prison. And I felt something strike my heart with that. I sensed the Lord was trying to tell me something about that. And as I was just praying and seeking the Lord, I just feel like You're showing me something about, as they were praying, there was a light that began to shine in the prison house. And what the Lord spoke to my heart is, he said, Tim, I'm trying to show you something. I'm trying to show you that this is spiritual. Darkness represents the powers of the enemy. That's what it represents. And the Lord was speaking to my heart, I'm trying to show you that this is something spiritual. It's not Rome trying to kill the gospel. It's not Rome trying to subdue the voice of the gospel. It's the powers of darkness. And the Lord was saying, when my people begin to pray, my spirit, my light comes and it begins to shine into the prison houses. The light, which is the life of Jesus Christ. That brothers and sisters, when we begin to pray, God moves somewhere and he begins to dispel the darkness by ushering in the light. That's the power of corporate prayer. My point is simply this. When we understand what God is doing in our times and we pray with the mind of the Lord, we dispel darkness. We pull down satanic strongholds. We open the enemy's prison doors. We infuse the light of Christ in places confined by the gross darkness when we begin to pray with the mind of the Lord. Now, I want to end with this. I started out by saying earlier, this will probably be the shortest message I ever preach. But the most patience to receive it from the Lord. I mean, I have spent much time in prayer saying, God, I need a message. And God saying, Tim, wait on me in prayer. Wait on me in prayer. Wait on me in prayer. And the Lord did that for a reason, because he taught me something that's so vital to this message. It's so vital to, if we're going to discern the moving of God and the working of God and what is our part in the moving and the working of God. And if we're going to pray with the mind of the Lord when he begins to show us what he's doing in our times, then there's something that we need to understand. And it's something I knew, but just waiting upon the Lord again, it was birthed in my heart afresh. And this is what the Lord taught me. Discernment comes with waiting upon the Lord. Discernment comes with waiting upon the Lord. Discernment comes with giving ourselves to prayer and waiting upon the Lord. I like what one man of God said. He said, God doesn't speak between commercial breaks and half times. If God is going to speak, you have to wait upon the Lord in prayer. You have to learn to wait upon the Lord. You can't get in a hurry with God. The most important thing in our life has to be the kingdom of God coming on this earth as it is in heaven. With the evidence of God, I place everything else that's not in importance aside to wait upon you in prayer. We have to be a people who wait upon the Lord. And the scripture the Lord put before my heart was Acts chapter 13, verse 2. We're already in Acts chapter 12. Look with me to Acts chapter 13, verse 2. This is talking about the church of Antioch. The church of Antioch. It says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost departed unto Seleucia. So let's just stop there. What I simply want us to see is it's so simple. Don't need to make it hard. But it was in the place of waiting upon the Lord in prayer and ministering to the Lord that God began to speak to that church. God began to reveal his will for that church. It was in waiting upon the Lord that God began to show this church of Antioch his will for this church. And it was in this place of waiting upon the Lord that certain members in this church began to hear and sense the call of God upon their lives in waiting upon the Lord in this church. Brothers and sisters, God does have a purpose for Mount Zion Church of the Holy Spirit. And it's so important that we learn to wait upon him in prayer and get his mind and get his heart. I truly believe with all my heart the most important thing a corporate body can do is pray. I believe that with all my heart. I sense very soon God is really going to call this church to fasting and prayer. Fasting meals throughout the week and setting time aside just to seek God's mind for the church, seek God's heart for the church. God, what is your will? What part do we play? God, open up the eyes of our hearts so we can discern what you're doing in our time, so we can join you and work with you in prayer. I believe that with all my heart. But most of all, I hope we all have a desire to go to that place of prayer with an expectation in our heart. I really pray that when God really begins to move upon this church to pray, I'm really praying that it just won't be two or three people who feel the call. But I'm really praying, I hope, Lord, I hope as a body we feel the call to set our lives to prayer and begin to discern where your hand is moving. And God, what is our part in the moving of your hand? But I'm really praying that God, as you begin to show us, there would be such an expectation in our heart. It wouldn't be a labor to pray. There would be such a faith in our heart that God is going to move and answer our prayers. I want to end by just showing you one more thing. Go with me right back to 1 Chronicles chapter 12. 1 Chronicles chapter 12. Look at verse 32 again. It says, "And the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times, to know what Israel ought to do." And this is what I want you to know. Issachar, his name in the Hebrew means this: God will bring a reward. And I don't think it's coincidence that that's what their name means. We need to have such an expectation that when we are discerning the times and discerning God's purposes and we're praying with the mind of the Lord, God is going to do something tremendous. He is going to reward our labor of prayer with answers. He is going to reward our labor of prayer with answers. What am I trying to do? I'm trying to make you so thirsty for prayer. So thirsty to begin to seek the Lord as a church. God, show us, what is it that you want us to see? What is it? Cause us to see what it is you're doing in the world and you're doing in our world. Cause us to see it, God. And then begin to show us our part, Lord. What is our part? Amen. Stand with me this morning. I'm going to end with this. Don't turn there, but I just have a warning, a very loving warning from the Lord out of His Word. And it's Amos chapter 6. It says, "Woe to them that are in heathen Zion, that lie upon beds of ivory and stretch themselves upon their couches, and eat the lambs out of the flock and the calves out of the midst of the stall, to chant to the sound of the viol and invent in themselves instruments of music like David, to drink wine in bowls and anoint themselves with the chief ointments. But they are not grieved for the affliction of Joseph." In other words, God is telling His people, you got so caught up in the spirit of the age, so caught up with all of its pleasures and its comfort, that you lost my burden. And that's why so many don't pray. It says that lie upon beds of ivory. I can't help but think, how much time do we spend sitting on the couch watching TV? How much time do we spend in prayer, praying the kingdom in heaven come upon this earth? It says that eat the lambs out of the flock. I'm just going to give it to you as the Lord, talking about eating the chiefest of foods. How much time do we spend in restaurants? Going to nice restaurants, eating out in restaurants, and how little time do we give to prayer? How little time do we give to fasting and prayer? Brothers and sisters, in these last days, I want to be about the Father's business. And I am telling you, guard your heart against the spirit of this age. Guard your heart with becoming comfortable with America's comforts and the pleasures of America's, and becoming comfortable in America's pleasures. Let's be a part of what God is doing in these last days. And if the kingdom of God doesn't possess our hearts, let's just pray. God, let your kingdom possess my heart. Let the passion of my heart to see your kingdom come in the world I live in and in our world be stronger than the pleasures of the flesh in giving myself to the comforts and pleasures of the flesh. More than anything else in this world, I want to be a praying man. That has always been my cry. That's been my heart. God, I want to be a praying man. Not in my strength, but in the strength of the Lord. I don't want to squander hours away. I want to be a praying man. Not in my strength, in your strength. Let's stand.